Okay, now you can start. Daniel, you can start now.
Sure. Okay. So, hello, my name is Daniel Campello. I'm here to present my proposal for dissertation called Exploiting Caching for Improving System Performance. So, first, let's define what are memories and caching. So, memories are used to store instructions and data used for applications and operating systems to execute. There are several types of memory, and they vary in sizes and access speeds. A memory with a higher access speed will have lower capacity, and it will be more costly. That's the motivation for a cache. A cache is basically a smaller and faster memory that stores a copy of the data from frequently or recently used to the slower memory locations. The idea is to use a cache for getting the best of both worlds, high capacity, but also faster speeds on accessing the data. So, in this proposal, we're going to talk about exploiting this caching technique. But first, let's define one of the biggest, more important metrics for cache, and that is the cache hit rate. A higher cache hit rate leads to lower latencies on all the accesses from the applications. Cache hit occurs every time that the requested data is present in the cache. The cache miss is when that data is not present. So our objective is exploring caching for improving system performance, and we're going to do it by doing two things. First, exploring techniques to increase the cache hit rates. And the second one is to handle the data accesses in a more efficient way. So when a miss occurs, we don't need to necessarily have high latencies. So the outline for the rest of the talk, I just gave a brief introduction. I'm gonna go into the problem statement. Then I'll present the first part of our work, which is Coriolis, scalable VM clustering for cache duplication. Then I move into non-blocking writes to files. I then move to the post work, which has two main parts, and I'll finish with related work. So the problem statement for this proposal is that we improve overall system performance by first creating new clustering algorithms that aim virtual machine placement to take advantage of the duplication mechanism that could exist in the hypervisor level. And as a consequence, improve cache efficiency in virtualized environments. Second, we eliminate process blocking on file writes to pages that are not present in the OS cache in a way that is transparent to applications. And last, designing and implementing new file system page caching solutions that integrate emerging byte resolver system memory devices. So I'll go on these three points in the rest of the talk. So first, let's talk about how we address the first point. Today, virtualized technologies allow for several workloads to run in the same physical server. And depending on the size of this physical server, many or few workloads can run together without affecting too much each other. Now, thanks to the duplication techniques, if the workloads are similar enough, they could start overlapping their working set sizes. And that basically allows for more space in the physical server to host more workloads. That's one approach that it can be taken, which is just put more workloads inside the physical server. Or the other approach is basically give more space to each of the present workloads. And by space, we in the context of this proposal, we're referring to caching space. So, how we motivate the or solution, which is virtual machine clustering. We state that classifying possibly diverse virtualized servers into clusters of serial virtual machines can help with placing them together in the same hosts, which may be capable of deduplicating the similar content that these images will have, and as a consequence, free some space that could be used for caching. So basically improve the cache ratio on these hosts. So the first contribution of this work is that we define two similarity types. The first is the content similarity, which refers to the data similarity in the raw files. The idea here is that images with high content similarity can benefit from the duplication at a shared management server where the images can be stored in their storage already duplicated. And semantic similarity, which refers to how similar are the software that is inside those virtual machines. So we state that images that are more semantic similarity may exhibit higher number of duplicate pages in the caches, in main memory or cross-site caches. And this is due to the fact that they might be sharing the same executables or shared libraries. So I'm gonna give a step back and give some background on how clustering is handled today. Clustering is an NP-hard problem, and various heuristics exist. K-means is the most popular technique employed in the real world. And it works by having several iterations, refining a solution. And in each iteration, there is an assignment step where a distant operation is calculated for every element that you want to cluster to every cluster center. And then a update step where these elements are merged to a particular cluster. So in practice, these merge operations are usually very small. They take a long time because they may require just 100 additions or division operations. But in the concept of virtual machine clustering, it's not as simple. Distance, we define it as 1 minus the similarity of two images. And similarity is basically a weighted operation that can take into consideration content or semantic similarity of the data that is in both images divided by the weighted of the union of the data of both images. Merge can be calculated as just the union of all the data of both images. And here I have a table of how much time it takes roughly to calculate. We can see that those take substantial time. And using k-means, a data set with 1,000 similarity operations, which would take roughly 2,000 years, assuming these numbers. By using the memory data structure, it would take about 4 years. So there is an alternative, which is approximate clustering. K-means is a velocity. And what it does is it works similarly to k-means, but it restricts the center of the cluster to be one of the elements of the clusters. So then it only requires to have a computation of how similar are each image to each image. So basically n squared similarity computation that could be done before starting the clustering algorithm. So now again, a data center with 1,000 images would take about 2 years. Within memory data structure is still 15 days, which is not good enough. So our proposed solution is Coriolis, which is a tree-based approach that involves constructing a tree. Each image, the tree is constructed by adding image one by one to the tree, and the tree will have different nodes, which could be a cluster or a single image. And then this tree, each level of the tree will represent a minimum extent of similarity within a node. So this is a sample tree for Coriolis, where we have 5 images already inside. We only compute the similarity for the new image to add to the children's where the image has been merged. So a similarity of that image F to the node AB and to the node CDE. And we merge, and we just need to compute the similarity of image F to the image A and B. Again, merge to the one with more similarity. And then they appear as a last level because they are not similar enough to be in that level together. Similarity of 1.0 will mean that only images that are exactly identical will be together at that level. The root will have similarity greater or equal than zero, proportional to the depth of the tree. For our experiments, we use images from two production data centers, 9 images from an IBM data center and 12 from the computer science department at FIU. And then we scale up our evaluation, and we create new synthetic images to feed to our algorithms. So here we have a comparison of K-MIDOIS to our tree-based clustering. We can see that K-MIDOIS, we increase the number of images that we want to cluster, it started taking more and more time. In a quarter of the dots are the number of images that have a more linear pattern. So in summary, we describe different types of the state-of-the-art K-MIDOIS clustering algorithms. It's quadratic and it's not good enough for clustering images, which is specifically designed for this this work. Wow, part. So, I read a background. They can do synchronous writes, which basically a process writes to storage before the write is acknowledged to the process. Or they could use asynchronous writes, where they write to the page cache, and then the process is free to continue executing. At a later moment in time, they put to the backend storage. And until that happens, the process won't be able to continue. Alternatively, there are threads in the OS that are in charge of periodically flushing all the contents in the cache to avoid stale data to be there for long. And they are in charge of flushing these contents. So what is the problem that we want to address? So partial writes to pages that are not present in the cache require, let's follow the following diagram. A process issue a write, then the OS is miss the access on the page cache because the page is not present yet. The OS will issue a page fetch, and at that moment, the process will be put to sleep. OS will wake up the process and return the write system call. So why wait for the data that the application doesn't need? To illustrate how applications do partial writes to pages, we took several traces environment, and we also analyzed two available traces for Facebook and Twitter. Traces, we can see that more than 50% in many cases, the accesses require at least one partial page overwrite. 63% of the writes involve partial page overwrites, and depending on the page cache size, these overwrites will result in varying degrees of page fetches because many of them could be already present in the cache. So how we deal with the problem? Non-blocking writes is the proposed solution. Writes, again, the OS will miss some access. It will issue the fetch, but instead of putting it in memory, and let the process continue. Later on in time, when the fetch completes, the data that was buffered in a patch is applied into the page. So the benefits of this approach is that it means a time reduction because it has reduced blocking time. And there is an increased backend store bandwidth usage because now that it's complete, it might be able to issue other writes that will trigger other fetch or reads that will trigger other. Here that we're still issuing the fetch. So why issue a page fetch for data that the application doesn't need? And that motivates our second variant, lazy fetch. The OS contents buffers the contents of the patch and returns control to the process without it. The process accesses some data on that page that is not serviceable from the patch due to a read or another write, actually due to a read or to requesting persistence. Then at that moment, the OS will be available at this moment. Then the process will be put to sleep, waiting for the completion to happen. At that moment, the patches will be merged into the page cache as before, and the page will. So this variant has benefits and drawbacks. The benefit, the allocating page memory and fetching is only done when necessary, and may even avoid it in some particular case. But as a drawback, the resource utilization becomes unpredictable and can be really burst. With our asynchronous and lazy. But we also have two mechanisms that refers on how the fetches happen. We have foreground and background mechanisms. This generate extra blocking fetches because now the OS needs to look for inodes and direct or indirect blocks to be able to find the location of the data and disks. So the foreground mechanism for page fetch, the process will have to block until all the metadata is fetched into the page cache. Then when the actual unit is executed in parallel, which is the third green line. In contrast, the background mode works by having the process to scheduling working and non-blocking write kernel thread to fetch the page and all its required metadata. Now, this thread will block in place of the process for the data asynchronously as before. By implementing them at the VFS layer in Linux, and these are some of the results that we have. In blue, we have the original system doing blocking writes. As we can see, the throughput is really low until the size of the write moment fetch is not required, and the write can just be serviced from the page cache without involving any AI. Then we have asynchronous foreground that it seems to be very similar to blocking writes, and this is due to the fact that there are many metadata. Even though they seem similar, this 50 to 60% improvement over blocking writes for random writes. Asynchronous background, which has a 3x improvement for random writes and 3 to 20x improvement for random read. And we also have non-blocking write lazy, which has up to 45%. Then we present random reads, and we evaluated all our systems using this workload that only does reads, and we can see only workloads. Then we move to a more real macro benchmark, a benchmark that a real world workload. So first, we show that around 70% with the use of any of the most of non-blocking writes. But non-blocking write lazy has a slightly effect on reads because of delay fetching. And finally, we can see that performance of the benchmark is proportional to the write and read. We did a, for finalizing our evaluation of non-blocking writes, we did a system called Trace Replace of two mobile applications, Facebook and Twitter, using MobiBench. In blue, we have again the, we can see that the variance of non-blocking writes depending on which a storage backend is used can yield between 20 and 40% decrease operation latency. So in summary, our operation system block processes on asynchronous write in many cases. With non-blocking writes, we demonstrate that such blocking is unnecessary and detrimental to performance. It's a general solution to communication. And the evaluation demonstrated how non-blocking write effectively. So until now, I presented the work that we have done in the course of my PhD, my dissertation. So the first part is broaden or clustering solution. the Gorelli solution that we talk about, to now quantify what are the kind of benefits achieved by allocating this cluster that we proposed the design of two new page cache architectures, which make use of emerging bi-directional persistent memory to enable fast and durable writes. So, to the MobiBench results that we have for non-blocking writes, but before replaying the traces, we remove all f-single processes. That removing these operations decreases latency by 40 to 60%. Why did we remove the f-single operations? The contents of the cache for the files that these benchmarks are touching. The f-sync operation is not distant memory, will provide to these applications for the durability requirements that they are looking by issuing the f-sync operations. So we have two designs that can take advantage of the use of persistent memory to persistent page cache design. In this design, there is a complete separation of the pages in memory from the pages that are used in the storage, which are basically the file system page cache pages, and all the anonymous pages. So here, DRAM will be still used for anonymous pages while persistent memory is the now, as we talked before. Any data write to the cache is immediately persistent. The only thing that needs to be we have a second the fact that the latencies to access persistent memory are higher than accessing DRAM. So in the previous system, even though the advantage is has a disadvantage that every access is to the page cache suffers a slowdown design, where anonymous pages still only reside on DRAM, and file system pages reside in DRAM too. An asynchronous write happens to a file system page, that write is only reflected in DRAM. But we save annotating where in this page the write happened, so we can remember where the modification. Now, for synchronous writes, the write will happen in both a patch in persistent memory, similar to the patch that we defined for non-blocking writes. To address a write happening to persistent memory, every previously annotated writes asynchronous write that happened to the same page has to also be flushed into persistent memory by creating a patch with their contents. Still, application will still have DRAM speed for async writes, and they will speed up their synchronous writes by only having latencies to write to persistent memory instead of accepting all the accesses that happen by using ODirect, which is a way to bypass the page cache in Linux. All writes are handled by writing to the page cache. But the writes to the backend storage can be optimized because the only writes that happen to the backend storage are the writes due to eviction processes from the page cache. So this can be heavily optimized by trying to write in, applying existing techniques to optimize asynchronous writes. So, to finalize, I'll talk a little bit about the related work of this proposal. First, the duplication, find that VMflux is one of the closest works, closely related works, but it doesn't take care of deciding which images to migrate together. So Coriolis application. For the non-blocking writes project, there is a huge body of work on optimizing write performance. The two closest one will be the O non-block flag for open system call. This flag, what it tells the operating system, is this file can be handled without blocking, they will be handled. But if blocking is necessary, the operation will fail. In contrast, the other alternative is use the asynchronous IO library, but this one requires application modification. In contrast, no blocking writes doesn't require any of this. And finally, there is also a huge body of work on integrating the use of persistent memory in current system. We first have the unioning of the buffer cache and general layers with non-volatile memory design that we present fully persistent page cache, where they use persistent memory to provide both the functionality. And there is also PMFS and PPMFS, which are file system designated to take advantage of persistent memory. Implementations of file systems, which aim for using persistent memory as the end place for the aim to use persistent memory as a cache. The idea that this persistent memory that is an emerging technology right now will be slowly, it should be in a slower amount. So probably the cost of having a system with enough is harder than just use a fraction of that persistent memory for caches. And with that, I conclude the presentations.
It was good. Did you
start recording like 34 minutes ago? And I think it was a little bit before I started, so around 30, 34, 35.
Yeah, I have 26 minutes, 27 minutes. So it's good. I think because you went a bit fast.
Yes.
The material was it's kind of dense and it's difficult for people to quickly understand what you're saying, given the speed with which you're moving. So I had some suggestions to slow it down, which I'll say later. But
yes,
let's have other comments too.
I was expecting to take more time. That's why I actually consciously rushed.
Well, one of the things that that you should probably do is to think about how to integrate the caching theme in all the pieces of the three pieces you presented more better. And one suggestion is to have a single diagram, like some kind of a block diagram, which says how each of these three pieces improves caching performance. Right, I mean, deduplication stuff is good for eliminating duplicate data in the cache, right? Or increasing the amount of duplicate data that is being accessed, so that caching, when you're handling writes within a single cache, file system cache, what is given persistent memory, how can you use it in the best possible way? Theme slide where you motivate all these three pieces and slide again and show that this, now you're going to focus on this. I think that would help you not just slow down, but also help the audience understand the context of the material better.
So in other words, this slide will replace the outline slide that I had for that month.
Yeah, the outline slide didn't work really well because you started talking about terms like Coriolis and non-blocking writes, which were not introduced. I thought that in the outline, if you gave a broader overview of the entire thesis to say why you're doing, go into the Coriolis discussion in detail, I think that would be better. So that the audience also knows what to expect. So I'll let's go around the table and ask. Yeah, thanks.
Hey, Daniel.
Hey.
Go back. I just have a question about the results. Yeah. So. Yes. Size of the operations. So the number of operations increase. It's just because it's smaller. So. So I was wondering. Well, okay, of course. Of course, it's gonna decrease by when you increase. Similar to the size of the is it like linear to the size of the
I guess so, yes.
Okay. No, I was just wondering why the benefit decreases.
I mean that is because as you increase the size of operation, the time to create the patch for that operation will be longer.
I think
there
it's also isn't it related to how quickly the memory gets filled up with patches, because there's a patch memory limit.
That's also true. Actually, that's true.
That's for smaller,
because of the limited. When you have smaller writes, you can go for
patches.
you can create a lot more patches, which means a lot more write operations per second goes up.
So you feel more
block basically. Mm-hmm. Once you're then you go into a blocking mode, which is why because each patch is bigger.
So I was wondering if I don't know if this is a good idea or not. So now you have operations per second. That when you have smaller size of operations, of course IOPS will grow, right? So
throughput.
Yeah. Can we just can it be explained through throughput or?
Yeah, throughput may be pretty much constant, because throughput will be dictated by how much you can write to the patch. You take each point there and multiply it by the size. So 128 and 256, right? Well, I think it may actually go up a little bit. Go up, the trend will probably increase.
Yeah, I don't know if maybe the difference between the performance, because even if it's content across
the benchmark, though, the operations per second.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. So we could report throughput, but that's not the benchmark.
FileBench also have throughput.
Yeah, this is isn't this FileBench?
Yeah. FileBench also has throughput.
Oh, it does have throughput too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Why choose that? I mean, because it got confused then. Well, not confused. I just thought about it. The other comment that I have, I don't know if we. So I the presentation. I think I feel you. Maybe you could split the structure a little bit more the information, and maybe split it in a couple slides or something like that, because I feel like, for example, in the slide 33 and 34 there was a lot of information. And
you mean 32 and 33 or 33 and 34?
33 and 34. So that, then in the related work you also spoke a long time, and it was a lot of stuff for me to read and follow what you were saying.
I think in general, I know you are trying to meet the 30 slide limit that I gave you. What I was going to say is that if you can make the material even more sparse so that you don't have so much text, except for this related work slide, which is fine. I mean, this is probably the only exception. As much of your text into graphs, into figures, I think that would be good. Because that's when people start losing you. When I have to read the slide and I have to listen well, then I might lose what you're saying. And I might not even be able to finish reading.
Otherwise, I think it's just practicing.
Okay.
This is Hector.
Hey.
I agree with it here, the folks at the lab, that sometimes I feel that since you are comfortable with the subject, sometimes you might say things a little bit fast, and you do it like at the end of a slide when you're trying to make a point. You kind of assume, maybe it's a thing that you assume that obviously we understood what you say. Like when you're trying to make your point, your bold final statement of
your
philosophy.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I feel that too.
And especially, I haven't read your proposal, like the document, but I think that Coriolis was also you went too fast there.
Was it too deep as well?
I would like maybe a little bit more of
detail?
Because
background. Background or detail?
No, I think detail.
More detail?
Yeah. But I felt like Coriolis was too fast, and then you took a long time in Noma, which is also what I have been in touch a long time, and I was more comfortable. But with Coriolis, it was too fast for me, and I was like, I deep solution of Coriolis. I mean, like the details. I know the details of how you did.
Yeah, but this is not, I mean, this is a PhD proposal exam, right? So there's not a lot of time to go into
right.
detail. So, I mean, that's one of the trade-offs. When you're doing a talk that covers at a relatively superficial level.
Okay.
And then if there are questions, so what Hector is suggesting is to try to simplify the Coriolis. What you do is to connect it to caching and motivate it using caching. And then I know you're in say that we need to do more evaluation, right, of our caching as opposed to designing, you know, caching based on similar. If it's removed or separated from caching, it doesn't make sense for the audience to, I mean, it seems like it's something completely independent.
So, I mean, on this slide at least, I tried to introduce a problem with caching.
But see, the thing is that it doesn't tell me how it is bunch of balloons in there.
Yes, actually I had a comment with that image. You said, I mean, you have the three figures, but you don't have like a little caption that says, what are you trying to explain with those?
Have some colors. You know, maybe each VM is broken up into two colors, when one is content and the other is semantic, right? And then the colors of similar space to put the same content in the cache. So that way it's visually obvious what you're trying to do.
That will only mean change DB server and web server for two different colors.
Yeah, but even in DB server and web server, there is, since you're also showing content and semantic, you could use this figure to show that you can have easily split up into pieces. I have written this down in my suggestion, but you know, think about how to show the effect of doing content, you know, visually show what its impact is on cache utilization.
Okay,
but
I may need to modify. And here,
just to follow up on that, the previous figure that you had was okay for the original Coriolis paper, but
different VMs into a physical server. But when those VMs share some content and that's the overlap between the circles, if you can deduplicate, you only need to that's actually the overlap, deduplicating similar content. Then more images, or alternatively, host more of those images. And
yep.
The more was in the sense of they have more cache space. I agree.
Right, right. I think I understand where you're going with that.
Function.
Yeah, but in a box where the cache is, and show what is going into the cache, I think that would be more
yes.
beneficial. If you
the cone is the cache and the circles is the cache portion of the images.
Okay.
That was it.
But if you can present it that way, maybe it'll work for.
Yeah, I'll try to change it to see what can I do.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking about when I did.
Let's speak next.
Hey, hi Daniel.
Hi.
I have a question on slide 33.
I would do the go back and go directly to the slide, but with the screen sharing, it's not as easy.
The arrows and the arrow markings are not clear.
I don't know if that will be clear if you should.
Skype, that's what. Because
okay.
we can't
yeah.
read it
yeah,
through
we
the screen share very well, because maybe the Skype.
And this, my question is on the synchronous and asynchronous writes. So if you synchronous write, can you have two copies in the DRAM and
sorry, can you repeat that?
If you use the same page once synchronously and once asynchronously, or first asynchronously then synchronously, can you have two copies of the page?
The sign is that in DRAM you have as usual the one one copy of the page. So the DRAM part look at it as the normal page cache today. So what we're doing, and that write we also buffer in Apache for system memory. On asynchronous writes, we just write to the page, and somewhere in which offset and size inside the page has been modified. So then, if another synchronous write happens that requires to create a patch, we can go over this list of out writes and create patch for those as well.
That means the
writes. So at any moment, sorry, let me just finish this really quick. At any moment, will only be one page in DRAM, and in persistent memory, you only have patches.
Yeah, that's what my confusion was, actually. It was not clear what you are keeping in the persistent memory. When you say that synchronous writes in both is only in the persistent memory.
Yeah, the figure does says patches, right?
So again, this is one of those figures where animation would help a lot. How data is moving. And what is kept, what, where, and so
on. I thought the motivation for the same as what Professor and others said. The motivations for the first portion, the Coriolis one, was not clearly stated. And it was fast, like the motivation for doing more evaluations on slide number 29. I think it was not enough motivation there. Yeah, this one.
Okay. Yeah, I think I could do something with the whole problem statement.
Yeah. And overall,
so
I thought that
basically said that this is Coriolis addresses the first point.
Yeah. And overall, I thought that for both the proposed solutions or proposed works, the goals for the proposed works are not like clearly pointed out that we want to achieve these things. You said and you spoke about what you are going to do, like. Two, three slides for the maybe if you can what I thought if you can pull it out or something just that would be clear
slide for the entire proposal where you say okay this when you present that slide which connects all the three and present everything in one comprehensive view then
sounds good.
Very minor on slide 3 there is a same colons, I think this. The cache means that requested data is not.
It's double quotes.
Double quotes. I think you can replace it with just requested data not present.
Yeah, I had that too. Let's have your comments too.
Persistent memory. As well.
Yeah, I think the animated slide should help.
Yeah.
You have to speak into the microphone.
Yeah.
You speak very softly anyway.
I get that. No, I was just talking about how, as Atta pointed out, I didn't really, I for some reason assumed that they also held pages to present that.
Well, PM also holds pages if there is a MSync.
That might be part of why. Okay.
Yeah, I don't So you said that you cannot actually read anything in the diagram? Yeah, the diagram actually states what is each block inside, so it's clearer to just see that there are patches. Maybe that will help. But yeah, I could definitely state it to explain it more.
But there's also copy entire pages.
Yes, that's also true, but it's not in the diagram, and I didn't mention it either, so I actually left.
Yeah, okay, so I have some comments about that. One comment is that, you know, the Intel guys, persistent memory is going to be cheaper than DRAM, and you want to use it for capacity as well. And
sure,
if you're using it as a cache, then it's synced or m-synced in the persistent memory, but also other pages in the persistent memory that is not synced. So maybe persistent memory can coverable persistent memory, and the other which...
it's just more DRAM.
Yeah, exactly. I think that would be a good improvement to this proposal.
Incorporate that to the presentation?
If you can, I think that would be good. That would make this more complete. You don't have to if you don't have time. I think there are a bunch of other comments that are more important to include that in your presentation.
Okay.
Any other thoughts, Stephen?
Not that I can think of at the moment. I kind of wish I agreed.
Okay, so I think we are done with all our comments here, and I have a bunch. Overall, I think, Daniel, this is, you know, this came out really nicely. Given that it's the first presentation, I think it came out really well.
Thanks.
Yeah, so Friday, I'm expecting, you know, at 1 o'clock. I don't know if we'll have time to do another practice talk. I don't think so.
I might. I'm flying Wednesday overnight. I'll be there on Thursday morning.
Okay.
I don't know if I'll have the whole Thursday free, but I might have time to do a Thursday afternoon presentation. I just need to check another thing that we have to do. But if everyone is available, or some of you are available, maybe on Thursday afternoon.
Okay, Thursday afternoon. Yeah. You guys are available? Yeah, we can do Thursday afternoon.
Okay,
let us know. Let us know by tomorrow so that we can schedule something, okay?
Yes, I know we... Tabitha and I has some appointments, something in the afternoon. I just need to see which slot is the one open and which one is taken, and I'll let you know.
Okay, great.
Thanks.
Thanks,
Daniel.
Thank
you very much for everything.
Thank you.
See you guys.
Bye.
Okay. Bye. See you.
Oh, I have another question. Don't you have to give the reference to the papers?
Yeah. Add references to the papers. I'll add it in my comments to him.
Yeah. It's a plus, right?
Yeah.
Keep his findings.
We stole it from Leo.
I realized that.
He's not here, so we're plundering his machine and his stuff. He'll come back and he'll find just pieces of whatever is left. Once is a long time. This can go missing.
What?
Or monitors. Maybe it got fire and no one knows.
Is there a... No?
Power it off.
Okay, yes. Thank you. Thank you, Stephen. For quickly downloading Skype and getting us set up. So now you have Skype on your machine, too.
Yeah, I do. It won't do me much good without a microphone. Yeah, I have it on the machine now.
You can use Leo's microphone, but because I think he's gone for a while.
6 months.
6 months?
Six?
Coming back in December.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah. Where is he going? First to Intel and then to...
then to VMware.
To VMware, yes, that's true.
Oh. Now he's away for a long time.
Yeah, both he and Daniel are going to be away for a while.
That's why I was offering plundering as an option.
What?
What?
Plundering as an option.
Plundering, yes. Okay, thanks guys. Thank you for
I think it's the wrong
all the feedback.